that we've discovered, compiled by Brother Colin and Sister Valerie Edwards of Newbury in the UK. Chapter 26, submitted by an anonymous person and called the Bedside Witness. No artist could capture the true picture, nor pen record the depth of love and the agonizing concern of those gathered in the hospital ward. Individuals from different walks of life that fused together as one in the fervent prayer that rose to the throne of grace on high. Their prayer was for the one whose limp figure lay before them. Through the past few days, her life had hung in the balance between life and death. It was difficult now to tell where the face and blanket divided, and the bedside witness saw her drift to the edge of death. But the Almighty had heard the appeal of those who loved her and accompanied the angels who encamped round her bed, and gently she was carried back to live out another day by his strength. She was a tragic victim of one of the many automobile accidents recorded on the highways. Almost from the moment she was rushed to the hospital, beacons of prayer were lit throughout the world by members of that royal family to which she belonged. The watchmen were quickly set in place, and the same message was transmitted from all quarters to the hospital ward. By the way of cards, letters, flowers, personal visitors, Christ's sister came to know that she had the best attention anyone could ask for in such a crisis. And so they waited by the bedside in patience. There may have been severe pain, genuine concern, and even the faint flicker of doubt drifting through the sunlit windows, but never loneliness. The nurses gave little heed to the constant parade of the young and old to that bedside. They had many other things to do, the care and demands of other patients, reports to be made up. But the flow of people did not go unnoticed by one man whose responsibility was to make deliveries to various rooms at the request of the patients. Every time he passed that room, it was always full of people, and not always the same ones. He thought that no one could have such a large family or that many friends. So curiosity got the better of him. He had to find out more about this unusual person. Quickly he discovered that she was of the Christadelphian faith, and all the visitors were her brothers and sisters. The number and the constant attention had impressed this young man a great deal. How greater would have been this effect upon him if he could have been permitted to see that she had an even greater audience, those who are called the angelic host. Like the Apostle Paul, he had been disturbed by the things he'd seen, and the incident would not leave him. Nor had the Almighty finished with him yet. Days later he was confronted by another witness to the things of the truth, by the way of a pamphlet advertising a Bible lecture to be given by the Christadelphians. Other things were put aside and plans were made to go and hear the things believed by these people, to learn of the love that they had one for another. Our story ends there for the time being. We hope that the young man who saw the wonders of the hope of salvation had cause to feel that love extended further than the walls of that hospital ward. We pray that his interest will carry him to the shores of the waters of baptism. We can, however, write the conclusion to the young sister's story. She is fully recovered from her accident, and her endearing smile now tells all those who will listen of the healing balm poured out so generously by those who loved her. Epilogue. We hope that you have enjoyed reading this collection of essays and have found them interesting and informative. It may be that you found some of the essays fascinating in their description of situations. Others may to you have been embarrassingly egocentric, and even one or two insensitive and not particularly helpful. However, we feel sure that somewhere in this little book you will have found something of interest to stimulate your thoughts and emotions. The aims in publishing this book have been to reawaken our interest in the truth, to stimulate our commitment to ecclesial life, and to revitalise our preaching to others. We particularly wish to offer a word of encouragement to those who have not yet been baptised, which is vitally important for them to realise the absolute necessity of repentance and baptism, responding to the invitation from God before the opportunity is passed. We are aware that this selection of essays has been arbitrary and unrepresentative of the worldwide Christadelphian community. It may be that by God's grace we shall be able to publish a further volume in due course. And we are also aware that we have reported only part of the story. In other words, these essays describe the circumstances of the truth discovered, but not the truth in daily life. And it may well be true to say that in the circumstances, that it is in the circumstances of life that we demonstrate whether or not we have truly found the truth. Finally, a word of caution. We must always be aware of the dangers in reporting and commenting upon the circumstances of conversion. It is so easy to pass from a sincere inward gratitude of God's care and providence into creating the impression that the disciple is the only subject of significance, and that the experience of conversion is more important than the reason for conversion. This must never be our reaction to the call of God. Rather, in gratitude and abject surrender, we should respond in obedience to the divine initiative, recognizing that without the sacrifice of Jesus, our salvation would not be possible. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.